One thing, what I'll say is I've been very lucky, and I actually did something that I loved to make money. But I would say, you know, there were points where that I got lost in the money and not in what I love. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And I think that the first thing that everyone needs to do is to do something that makes them happy, that they can look forward to doing every single day, because you're not going to be able to work that hard at something you're forced to do. There's just no way. Like, if this was not fitness and this was something else, let's say I was selling mortgages, which means I'd be on the phone all the time, whatever. Like, if you like that and that's your jam, do it. That's a way to make money, you know? One of the sayings to make money is the closer you are to the people that have the money, the more money you'll make, right?
Sure.
The closer you are to the money, the more you'll make. So, you know, mortgage, finance, all that stuff, you know? Yeah, but is that because you make money, is that going to make you happy? And if not, like, just quit and figure it out, you know? Spend less money.
This is the Blue Collar Entrepreneur Show, episode number 44, I believe.
45.
Episode 45. I'm your host, Kurt Belding, and I was going to say I have a guest. Actually, we're a guest at Adam Bonilla's place of business right here. What do you call this?
This is the Team Elite Physique Contest Prep Center.
Yes, so, the center.
Yeah.
So actually, we're a guest here with Adam Bonilla and Team Elite Physique. So
yeah, thanks for coming.
Yeah, man. Thanks for
Appreciate
having us.
Oh, no, cool. I'm so happy to have you guys here. You.
I've never been here.
Yeah.
It's super, super cool. He has the baddest ass dumbbells I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Super cool.
Shout out to J-Bells for getting us those dumbbells. They're pretty cool. Yeah.
We'll have to show a clip on that, Ian, when we're putting this together, those dumbbells. Anyway. All right, so I'm excited about this podcast because I'm going to really dig into Adam here and get to know Adam on a more personal level. I mean, we've been around kind of the same industry for a while.
We've seen each other. We've known each other. At least, almost a decade.
Yeah, it's been a decade.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
I know we're aging ourselves.
I know, right? Yeah.
But now we get to dig in to see what makes Adam tick. So super excited about that. So you guys will love this podcast. Well, where are we at today, Adam? You were just telling me you're about to build a new building. This place is a badass. Like, tell me exactly where you're at today. And obviously, this is a business podcast. It doesn't have to all be all about business.
Yeah.
But I want to know where you're at right now.
Yeah, where we're at right now, I'm pretty much in cruise control. My growth is more of a problem of not being able to sit still than actually, you know, being a desire to be like this big business. But we bought this building in 2017. We just bought some land just a few weeks ago. We're building a new building, which is going to be basically this contest prep center times two or so.
Yeah.
Much better, you know, than what we have. You know, we have a few different companies that are within Team Elite Physique. So we do, you know, weight loss center. We do. We have the building here that has, you know, doctors. We do services like hormone testing. We have our supplements here too. We do our posing, personal training, but our majority of our stuff is contest prep and transformation
yep.
clients. So,
yep.
yeah, but it's definitely a beast now, you know. So we have this building 6,000 square feet. The next one's 13,000 that we're building, and we're trying to take it to the next level. So
right, and he explained some of what he does to you guys, and for you guys that don't know who Adam Bonilla is. The biggest big thing that he does, he's all around contest prep, which is the bodybuilding circuit, figure competitions. That's kind of your main.
Yeah.
And then all these other businesses definitely funnel in, like the hormone, posing, all that stuff.
Right? Yeah, correct. Yeah. So basically, you know, if you look at, like, since this is like a business podcast, you know, it's we took one thing and then I kind of looked at, okay, what else are people doing within our stuff, and why am I not taking control of that. So basically vertically integrated as much as I could be within the fitness realm.
Yeah, super smart, super successful guy. One of the biggest reasons I want to sit down with him, because I see a lot of trainers that want to accomplish what Adam has accomplished, and 99.9% of them don't.
Oh yeah.
They don't even complete. They don't understand what it takes to get here. And I know a lot of people will watch you and see you like, oh, Adam's super successful. And they may even look at it as like an overnight success, because they have never seen you before. Oh my God, this guy's super successful. He's so lucky that he got to have this badass place to host all his trainers and clients and his online training. He's just super lucky to have that. But they don't understand the last 13 years.
Actually, this is August will be 20 years.
20 years.
It took me. I always say 13 years because that's where I worked for 24 Hour Fitness. And so,
oh yeah,
you know, I you know, that was. there's a lot of hardship went into getting here, which me even being here was never even a goal. You know what I mean? It's just, I just didn't stop.
Right.
You know, I never took my foot off the gas. And honestly, I never took the foot off the gas because of self-preservation. It was never because, like, it was never, you know, I was always worried about losing it. That's sure. I still live in that fear of that sure. anxiousness of, hey, one day people might not know who you are, you know? So I'm just trying to stay relevant. And with that comes natural growth, you know?
Right.
So yeah, it's crazy.
A little bit of fear is a driver just enough mm-hmm. to get you to grow, even past the goals that you had set.
Totally, yeah. You know, and that's with anything in business. If you're not staying relevant, you know, you're out of business. So
yeah.
there's a funny guy who, he made signs, and it was like, it's funny. I went to this like, this business, like it was like when I was just getting started, like trying to network back in the day before Instagram was around. And I always remembered him because I was like 19 when I was going to these places. And he was like, well, he does signs. He goes, a business with no sign is a sign of no business. You know? So like, it just always reminded me, you know, you stay relevant, stay present, you know, stay out there so people can see you. And so, you know, with that, you know, comes, after you do it for years, you compile a lot of people seeing you, you know? So.
For sure.
Yeah.
And if you're not growing, you're dying. That's exactly. Like, there is no sitting still. You could try to sit still, but you're going to continue to slowly die.
Oh, totally.
Right? So if you're not doing things to innovate like you are, you're going to die. That
yeah.
just is what it is.
Yeah, yeah. For sure. And a lot of this just came from just years and years of grinding and keeping the education where it is and staying like with the cutting edge sciences of it. And that was always something that I think has helped us a lot too. So staying like new business practices in terms of like your area of expertise. So if you're a mechanic, like the new things that are going into cars and staying relevant like on that, there's no reason that trainers should not be studying the new cars that are being built, the new science and research that's being done, you know? So same Absolutely. Type of thing, you know?
Yep, staying good at your craft.
Yeah.
So let's back up, man. Let's go, you mentioned to me that you grew up in an immigrant background.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Tell me about childhood. Tell me about where you're born.
Yeah.
Are you a native here?
I am from California.
California.
Yeah.
So where you born, childhood, how you were raised, because I believe that early section can equal the reason why you're successful.
Yeah.
Today.
Oh, no, totally. Like, it's totally the reason. You know, a couple people know kind of the story, but the reality is it's pretty brutal. So, have you ever heard that like book, Rich Dad?
Rich Dad, Poor Dad?
Poor Dad, that type of thing. I have kind of that scenario. So I have Rich Dad, Poor Mom, right?
Okay.
So my dad, he's an immigrant. My original family came from Spain, then went to Mexico, then came here. And my mom's a first generation from here. Her dad and mom are from Mexico. Mm-hmm. So I'm, you know, immigrant from my dad and my mom's one generation in. So,
right.
A lot different in terms of like culture, what I've seen now that I've kind of exposed to the culture.
For sure.
But, my mom and dad, my dad, honestly, just wasn't a very good guy. You know, he actually going down in the future, like I even tried doing business with him when I was younger, when I was like 22, and he stole all my money.
Oh, man.
And he's rich. You know what I mean? He's one of the richest guys I know. Took all my money.
He needed all your money.
Just take it all. Yeah, just took it all, spent it, and then never had it to give me back, you know? So that was 21, 22 years old when that happened. It was all my savings from being a trainer for years. And, you know, I was just getting on my feet, had like 86 grand saved up, put it into a house to flip it with him to start making some money, mm-hmm. some like real money. And then he refinanced the house without me knowing and took all the money out.
Took all the equity out of the house.
And then bankrupt the house, yeah. And I was like, it's just craziness because the guy's got so much money, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
his income was crazy. So that was where I learned a lot of lessons that like money can make you evil, and that's where I kind of just don't.
You learned the wrong way to make money.
The things I learned from him was to what things to not do to be a man. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So it was unfortunate to not have that male role model, but you know, there's a lot of things that I learned indirectly from that upbringing. You know, he had problems with alcohol and stuff too. So, but the main thing I learned was, you know, be a good person, you know, no matter how much money you have, you can still be happy. Like my mom, I mean, we were poor, but we were super happy.
Yeah.
You know, my mom, she slept on a couch for 5 years of my life. You know, she didn't have a room, you know, for my entire, like from elementary school, from my sixth grade in elementary school to my junior year in high school, maybe my senior year in high school. She didn't have a room. You know what I mean? She didn't have a room. She worked three jobs, had no room, and slept on a couch, and my aunt moved in and they slept head to head on the couch for
Holy
2 years.
Cow.
Yeah, and we had a two-bedroom apartment. My sister and my mom had a room. My sister and me had a room, but they didn't. They shared a closet with my sister's room. It's crazy. So even with all that, we were still happy though. We weren't hungry. You know, we were happy. That's just how you lived, you know? So, you know, I have this poor family. When you're young, you don't realize you're poor.
Right.
You just live, you know? But then when I would go to my dad's house, and I'd see him every once in a while, whenever he decided to be a dad, I'd see him and we'd go to his horse ranch, right?
Oh, yeah.
In Orange Hills. And you're like, wait a minute, I think I'm poor. <You know>? Like, I don't got any horses at the apartment. But I'm like, you know, so it was kind of a little bit of a rougher, more Hispanic neighborhood too. So it wasn't like the most ideal, scenario, you know? So, back then it was like, you know, it was just like getting through the day, you know, more I think.
Sure.
You know,
it was like day by day.
Yeah, getting through the day. And I was always happy at home, family, but the area was pretty rough, you know? So I always knew that I wanted to get out of that area and provide better, like, for my family and stuff too, for my mom and whatnot. And so even then, back then, like, it was kind of crazy, to be honest. The upbringing was pretty nuts. Like, back then, like, you had to, like, just try to, like, survive the neighborhood, you know? And okay. So we would, you know, you'd wear certain clothes to, like, because you're supposed to, you know, like, you wear a white shirt, shaved head, because sure.
That's what everybody else does.
Well, they make you.
They make you.
So, like, they make you so if something happens and a police get a reporting that there's a Hispanic guy with a shaved head and a white shirt
running away, we're all shaved
head and white shirts.
Oh, my God.
So that's why they do that. Yeah. Like, that's the reasoning for it. So you have to, you get beat up. They force you to do it. So it was just, that's just how it was getting by, you know? And so, like, I was just trying to make money for, you know, my family and stuff. So I got into doing some of the wrong things. And, you know, at, like, 16, obviously me and my dad aren't super close. I was working for my dad since I was 11 years old. He runs a grocery store, like, mm-hmm. big time, multi-million dollar grocery store. They do well. They wanted me to take over it. I was like the last Bonilla boy that should have taken it over. And then at like 16, I decided I wanted to work in fitness. I just love fitness since I was like 13 years old. And then they were like, you'll never make money in fitness. You'll never do this in fitness. And so I was like, I don't want to be at a grocery store my whole life. It sucks here, you know? And so I left there at 16, worked at supplement store for $6 an hour, and I've been in the fitness industry pretty much ever since. But being in that neighborhood, you kind of have like a couple choices in there. You can work for the neighborhood, right? And you can like sell things for the neighborhood. You can be a gangster and do things for the neighborhood, or you can just try to stay in your room and try to live, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I got, it was just crazy, you know? So I had like, back then, like, I had a couple friends get killed, and then my cousin got killed in a drive-by. And then what happened was, it got really crazy when I was younger. My cousin got killed, and then he was killed by this gang. And this gang kind of ran like the neighborhood. And his mom, was like doing this search for the guy who killed him. So they had like drawings of this guy, and they're like police sketches. And she was real aggressive about it, which she should be, you know, guy killed her son.
Yeah.
But it put the rest of the family in danger, you know, because she was being so aggressive about trying to find him. She put him up on billboards right in front of the neighborhood. And I was just hoping every day that they didn't find out he was my cousin. Because as a warning, that gang came by and they shot up my grandma's house and they shot up his grandma's house. So they shot up both of our grandma's houses, they were across the street from each other. That's how my aunt and uncle met. They lived across the street from, they've known each other since they were kids. Yeah. But the gangs came by and they shot up both of our grandma's houses as like a warning, like, hey, stop, you know?
Okay.
And so, like, I'm just trying to stay safe at this point, hope that no one figures me out. So I'm trying to stay good and trying to stay, you know, healthy. And so,
not die.
Yeah, really.
Jeez.
And so that's when I started, like, you know, doing things like for the neighborhood, you know, so I can have protection. And I was doing bad things. I was selling. I wasn't hurting anyone not hurting anyone directly. But it was just like a survival thing, you know, and I was just like, man, I gotta get out of here. And then I was working at the supplement store, and that led into, to like selling things that are associated with like supplements, right? Like importing drugs and stuff for them. But it's like, you don't have a choice, you know? It's like, it's when you're young and—
Sure, dude.
You don't, you know? It's like, it's just different, man. And so from a young age, I was always like interested in like the business side of things, you know? And so I happened to be really good at that.
I mean, it is a business.
Yeah, you know, it is. And so I happened to be really good at that. But then, when I was younger, when I was really young, I was washing cars and, you know, it was just washing cars for the most part when I was younger, and then worked for my dad at 11. But from 7 years old, I had my own car wash business. And then went into that, and then went into the other things, kind of like due to for survival reasons. But it taught me a lot too, you know. And then one day, the owner of, not the owner, but the manager of 24 Hour Fitness, Derek, he's like, "Hey, man," he's like,
"Was this in Cali?"
California, yeah. And he's like, "Hey, man," he goes, "just so you know, like, I know what you're doing, and if I know what you're doing, it's just a matter of time for other people to know what you're doing, you know." And I was like, "Dude," I told him the situation. I was like, "I don't want to be doing this, you know." And he's like, "Well, move and start here, and you know, be safer." So so I did, you know, I stopped. You know, luckily what happened was around the same time, a bunch of guys got busted, and so it was like a good excuse for me to stop. I can be like, "Hey, I'm..."
They'll let you out of the neighborhood?
Yeah, I gotta be like safe, you know?
Yeah.
So it was kind of like, you're not quitting on them type of thing, right? So it was like a free pass. I got out, you know? I did what I had to do. No one ever found out that guy was my cousin. The pressure dropped from that. I was good to go. So I just was finally like free, you know? It was cool, and I was just like liberated. So like, now I'm like super happy, and everyone's always like, "Why are you so happy all the time? You're always in a good mood. You're always working hard." I'm like, "Dude, if you knew, like..."
Perspective, man.
Yeah, man.
Right?
I could be in jail, like, you know.
I'm super... Do you ever get pissed at people when they're like just negative and woe with me, like, "Oh God, I got a speeding ticket today, so my life sucks"? You're like, "Yo, dude, shut the fuck up. I barely made it through childhood."
Yeah, you know? Like, yeah. So yeah, for now my life, like a bad day is like, you know, a client went off their diet. Yeah, yeah. A bad day back then was like trying not to...
That sure beats bullets,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, we'd have to, like... Remember when me and my friend would walk home from school, and we'd have to, like, sometimes, like, hide in apartment complexes until, like, the cars that were looking for us went by. Like, it was crazy, man.
Yeah.
So, like, now I'm, like, I'm the happiest guy in the world because I don't, you know, have to deal with that stuff, you know? So, like, it's, you know, all I did was, when I was younger, was when I was always super into bodybuilding. I just really loved bodybuilding. I never knew it was going to be my escape. But I love bodybuilding. I just loved it. I don't know why. I mean, I have a picture upstairs on my desk of this character I used to draw named Mickey Muscles. Mm-hmm. And he was just I was 8 years old. I was drawing this guy. I was just a mouse with muscles, like a jacked mouse, right? I was from like Disneyland area. So like, yeah. Mickey Muscles when I was like 8 years old. So since I could remember, I just loved Muscles and Rambo and Arnold Schwarzenegger and all that. And then it kind of led into this. When I was started high school, I started working out with weights. And then I just never stopped. I didn't ever stop. And then when I was 16, I really got serious about it. And I was never like, I was always a really small guy. I wrestled at like 113 in high school. And I always knew that I was never gonna be like genetically that guy who was gonna be superior and get to the Olympia just based on genetics. It was always gonna be based on work effort and based on knowing more than the other guys. So that's why I became like kind of a better trainer was not, honestly, selfishly, not because I was trying to be better for my clients, it was better for me, you know what I mean? And it just transpired to being better with clients, you know. But it was originally like, hey, I want to be selfish and I want to get better at this, and
I want to learn for myself.
I want to have the edge over everyone, not through genetics but through knowledge, because I don't have the genetics, right? So that turned into me working with people with genetics with that knowledge, and that just kind of exploded everything, you know. So I worked for 24 Hour Fitness for like 13 years, and then in my last couple years at 24 Hour Fitness, I made like 30 grand a year. I was a manager. It's crazy, you know?
Yeah.
Those like big, and that's what happens to like bigger companies, you know, you're like the money stays up top, and the guys down low, they hang the carrot saying, hey, you're gonna make this, and no one ever does.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day you don't realize it, and that's why the guys last 2 to 3 years there. So I wasted a lot of time there. I wasted a lot of time being undervalued, but taught me a lot of lessons about how to at least run business. So I think of it as like a 13-year business boot camp.
You were 24 for 13 years?
Yeah.
How old were you when you got out?
Let's see.
Was it as easy as getting out of the neighborhood?
It was just a little easier.
Yeah.
I don't know, 8 years, 9 years ago?
Okay.
8 years? 2012, that's what it was. So what's
2012?
7 years ago.
Yeah.
7 years ago, yeah. So my last 2 years there was, you know, I was making 32 grand a year, you know? That was I think that's what it was. Last 2 was like 32 and 34 grand, and I was like, man, that sucks. Like, I used to make like 70 a year. You might be when I was a kid. When I was 18, I was making more than when I was 30, you know?
Sure.
What I mean? It's crazy. Yeah. And so they just changed the payment policies and like bonus structures and stuff, and like it just was impossible to hit anything. I mean, I remember one meeting, it was like my last meeting there, and it was like, there was like 20 something managers. It was like high 20s, how many gyms we had in Colorado. And then the district manager was like, how many of you guys made bonus this month? And one guy raised his hand. He's like, all of us should be raising our hand every month. And I'm like, but no one ever does, man. And so like, yeah. No one's making money. And I was like, I can't do this anymore. I'm like, you know, I'm trying, you know. So the whole time, luckily, I was doing contest prep, you know, I was doing it on the side and, you know, getting, like, I was popular in the gym and whatnot. And then I went to Club USA after leaving 24 Hour Fitness, which I have a big, like, big heart for Club USA because they helped a lot of this happen. And I started off as a new trainer. I didn't take any of my clients from 24 because they wouldn't let me. So I went down the street and I just sat behind a booth. So 8 years ago, you know, yeah, 8 years ago, maybe nine, I was sitting behind tables doing free body fat tests, trying to get clients. You know what I mean?
Just hustling.
Yeah. And now, you know, like if we get five inquiries a day, it's a bad day, you know?
8 years isn't that long either, you guys. Like, I mean, I've been in my industry for 20 years.
Yeah.
I've been working my ass for 8 years is not that long, man. You've come a long way in 8 years.
Oh, it's craziness. Yeah, it's craziness. It's actually, it's funny is that when I went to Club USA, so I was already known. I was already a very known trainer because I've been doing it 13 years, you know? Mm-hmm. And so at that point, and then when I went to Club USA, there was a lot of really good, like, talent there. There was a lot of guys who could have competed but just never did because they never had, like, a contest prep coach in that gym, not a high level one. Mm-hmm. And so when I got there, everyone was like, all these guys welcomed me. They're like, oh, we're so glad to have a contest prep guy in here. Like, we haven't had a high level contest prep guy here ever. You know, so, you know, I want to do a show I've always been thinking about, but there was no one here, right? And so I was like, all right. And this was before, like, even 8 years ago, there really wasn't any online training still.
Sure.
Still wasn't happening yet. It was like just starting. And so back then it was just like, you have people in your gym, you prep them. That's it. There's no online stuff. And so, so I had like the first 6 months there, I had like 10 guys that were like already ready to do shows. And we're just sculpting them, you know, it was easy work. It wasn't like transformations. So we took those like 10 guys and girls and then did the first show. And we put on the team logo, which I was always had the Team Elite Physique since I was 18.
Okay. I was only going to ask you when that started, but you
started off as like me doing clothing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just like,
you did clothing when you were 18.
Yeah. I've always been like, you know, trying to do entrepreneur stuff. Right. Yeah. So the Elite Physique was just like something cool. And I was like, oh, cool. And like some guys wore it in the gym, the shirts and stuff, you know, and I was like, that's what it was. And it was just, that's what it was. And then I did it out here and I printed some out here. And then it was funny is I gave them to the guys because that was like my training company name. And I gave them to the guys. It was already around forever, but I kind of like didn't do much with it, you know? And then I gave everyone that I was training a shirt and then they all wore it to the show. And then it was like, oh, and then Jeff Taylor, the chairman, he's like, oh, Team Elite Physique is here. And I was like, it was like Elite Physique, like kind of clothing thing. And it was like my training company name, but it wasn't like a team thing, right?
Yeah.
But everyone wore the shirt. I didn't even ask them to wear it. And then I was like, okay. And then all the shirts were blue. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, oh, and then someone's like, oh, the blue crew's here. And then like, that's what happened.
That's how it's fun. Huh?
That's how it's fun. Well, what happened was I was like, okay, that's working that way. And I couldn't even afford to like print my own shirts. I made $32,000 2 years prior, right?
Yeah.
So I couldn't even like get shirts made. So I went and I rented a screen printing room. Okay. I took a screen printing course that week and it was like a $40 workshop. And then you can rent the screen printing room for like $20 an hour. So I bought like 200 shirts and I just like zoomed them out by myself. I did all those shirts by myself. And then I just handed them out to like people I prepped and then they would wear it. And then it just kind of grew into like brand recognition. And now it's like, you know, now I can afford to have my shirts printed.
Man, that is awesome. You're right. You can finally send that order off and get rid of that screen printer.
Yes.
That's entrepreneurship, man. Like you just figure out a way to get it done. That just is what it
just
is.
Just got to get it done. Yeah. And you know, I was losing money on those. So
no problem. Sorry.
So, you don't have the money, you make it work, you know, you make it happen. So, I'm super like now I'm just thinking, you know, with everything that could have happened, I'm just a happy guy, you know. I get to work with some of the best athletes in the world, which is funny because like I'll look at a magazine now. When I was looking at magazines when I was a kid, you know, I was into this stuff since I was so young. You know, I've been ordering Flex magazines. I was like 14 years old.
Flex magazine.
You know, so like I still get it. I still get those magazines. You know, so like I was in one the other day and it blew my mind. You know, I was like, this is crazy because I used to, as a kid, I'd be like, oh man, I wish I could just meet this guy. And then I was looking through one the other day. It was one I was in. I had an interview in one of them, And then I was like flipping the pages and I was like, oh, I got that guy's number in my phone. Like, oh, I got that girl's number in my phone. Oh, I prepped that girl. Oh, it was like a crazy moment. I was just in the grocery store, you know?
Right.
I was just like picking up the new one. And I was just like, man, it's just crazy because I was a kid, like just hoping to meet these guys. And now these guys are hoping to meet me and come to my prep center and like get some training with me. And like, we're all friends and it's just like so cool, you know? It's just like, it's just pretty, it's crazy if you apply yourself, like if you actually work hard and you don't like bullshit yourself and say you're working hard, which is 90% of people, you know? Like,
I see it all the time, man.
You know, like they have moments. I think a lot of people have moments of entrepreneurship where they're like, oh, I'm gonna do this. And they're like convincing themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I think the advantage for me is like considering my upbringing, considering my past, like I feel like every day I'm just like lucky to like be doing this work because I love the work.
Gratitude.
Yeah. And I don't have to like go into work and I'm like, I don't have like Mondays. I'm like, oh shit, I gotta go into work on Monday. Like I see those people and I'm like, do something else, man. Yeah. Just figure it out, you know?
You got one life to live. Why are you doing that?
Yeah. So like, I think that's an advantage to me just because I don't care if I have to work 80 hours because to me it's not
work.
Yeah, it's just like it is cliche and, you know, kind of bullshit like thing to say, you know, right? But that's true for me. Like I have Ashley flying in tomorrow night. I'm gonna be working like crazy with her, but it's so fun. I don't care, you know what I mean? So it's like, I don't know, it's just, I think that's something that what every entrepreneur has to do. I think that they gotta figure out what is it they actually want out of life, not out of money, right?
Exactly.
Which is useless, you know what I mean? Like people put so much behind that, and once you make a certain amount, it's useless unless you're like just trying to show off, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, you can chase the happiness or you could chase the money. And I think that, that's a transition that's gonna be happening eventually. But I think with like, especially like when you're from an immigrant family and you're taught, hey, this is the land of opportunity, like your upbringing is just like, you gotta make money, you gotta do business, you gotta do this, whatever. Luckily, I went the other route and I was fully accepting of the fact that I was only gonna make $60 a session was the most money I'll ever make, you know? That's what I thought.
Right.
I didn't think I'd ever make more money than that and occasionally some diet dollars, right? I was like, okay, that's cool.
If and you
I
trained, were good with it.
Yeah, yeah, you know, it was good money. It was fine. It was $60 an hour times 40 hours a week, no problem. That's good money, you know?
Yeah.
You know? And so, especially when you're from the areas that I was from, you know, you're making 70 grand at 18, you know?
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. And, but, you know, turning it into like a real business was never even an option until, you know, the internet came out and it was like, you know, I was doing this since before anyone was using this for internet, you know what I mean? Like we had no information on the internet. There was no studying. It was magazines. It was personal training sessions and that's it. Instagram and social media wasn't around. So like your reach was just your gym. And if you're lucky, some people from around your gym like that heard about you. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like people would drive, you know, 20 minutes to see you, but that's about it.
Tops.
Maybe 30, you know?
Mm-hmm.
In California, 30 minutes away is an hour and a half away.
So
you're not getting those people. So it's like your gym, that's it. That's your social media, you know? So like, I was cool with that. You know, I was never chasing dollars, but you know, one day they started coming and then, you know, and then one day, you know, you had to kind of figure out how do you make this better for everyone around you, you know? And that's where this all kind of built. So, just 5 years ago, you know, everything was blowing up a little bit. And then Tori, she's like my main girl. She was like, you ever need an assistant, whatever. And I've had assistants at that point, like a little bit here and there. She's like, you ever need like an assistant? I want to do it. And I was like, yeah, we can do that. And it was after a show. And she came to my house. I had a home office, right? And she had this tiny little computer. I still have that little laptop. And we started doing like, she started helping me there. And then I told her, I was like, yeah, just tell your boss that you can do Thursdays and Fridays when I do my check-in. So tell your boss Thursday and Friday. That you have off on the mornings or whatever, right? She's like, oh, I already quit. I was like, what do you mean you quit? Like, I'm responsible for this person now, you know? I have to make a certain amount of money just so she can make. So like, that turned into us like pushing it a little harder, right? And then that turned into her bringing me into the gym under me as like an elite trainer, right? And she has a degree in dietetics. And then she started being busy. Then she started doing what I was doing years ago, sitting behind the table, doing body fat tests for free, building up her business. She worked really hard. And then that turned into us getting an office, and then that office turned into us getting another office at Armbrust, and that office turned into us getting this building to have our own like prep center, and then the prep center kind of took our our training to like another level, but it was never really the goal to get here.
Right. You were good at $60 an hour.
Yeah. It was just like, the goal is just to like create something, you know, create something great and then take it to the next level. Really, that's the goal, is to take it to the next level. And we just needed more space to do that. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's gotten where I never thought it would go. That's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, man. And you've come a long, like I said, long way in 8 years. And you hit on something really, really good earlier about not chasing money.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm big on that.
I'm huge on that also. I believe that you can create anything you want in this life. And if what you want is a lot of money, I think you need to look at why do you want a lot of money? Because that's probably not really what you want. I think you want things that a lot of money could give you, or you want certain happinesses in life. And you may be a little bit skewed. Like for me, I don't need a lot of money, man. I'm super simple.
Yeah.
I don't buy clothes. This is what I wear every day. I wear a Republic shirt because I screen printed them, got this done for $7. You know, like, I don't need much.
Yeah.
I want to create. That's why I want to be successful, because I want to give job opportunities. I want to create this business. That's what I want out of life. And I figured out this is what I want. So let's hit more on that and your philosophies of money.
Yeah. So I think being from an immigrant family, you know, they just put that in you. They instill it in you. You got to make money. This is the land of opportunity. We can't make this money where we're from. And like, you grow up just chasing dollars. And I think that's where my dad, how he went so south, caring about money so much.
Yeah.
And it just really, honestly, it like ruined his life. You know, like it's just like, you know, I just think it just changes your soul. You know what I mean? When that's all you care about. I mean, like, we haven't talked in, you know, like a decade. Like, I mean, no amount of money to me would be worth it to not talk to my mom. You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't pay. I don't care how much money you gave me. You know what I mean? There's just not. What am I going to spend it on? You know what I mean? I mean, he spent it on a relationship with his kid. You know what I mean? Almost, a lot of his kids don't talk to him. It's crazy. So like, I don't know. I just can't imagine like living in that type of regret and just like putting money before anything. And I think that taught me that lesson. And just don't chase it. You know, and which is a tough lesson to learn. You know, it cost me a lot of money to learn that lesson, but the way I look at it now is like, you know, it cost me in the end, it ended up costing me, it was like roughly like $68,000 is about where it was. It was like 87 or 86 when we started, and then I got some back, so it was like $68,000 was like what it costed me to get rid of the most toxic person, most negative influence in my life that I was like forced to have a relationship with, right? So to me, that's a pretty good price. You know, I'll pay that price again if I can get rid of that toxicity in my life, you know? So that's why I don't, and that's one of the main reasons I don't chase the money, you know, is that. And then the other thing is too, is like when you grow up like that and you're chasing money, and then even when like, you know, I was younger and I was, you know, like doing more bad things and making good money, you know, I think I was always grew up with money. And now that I have, like, since I was younger, like making money, you know what I mean? Since I was 18, 17, like I started making money, you know, so it has never really done anything for me, you know what I mean? When I was younger and we were selling things, you know, I'd make like $3,000 a week plus my crappy job, you know, and then, you know, that was, even then, that was a lot of money back then, and it just didn't change my life at all, you know, it just doesn't do anything for me. So now, you know, now we do pretty well, you know, we have quite a few companies, you know, I don't pay myself that much because I just don't even see the point, you know, like, there was a point where I was like, okay, I'm making money now I'm balling, right? And I was like, you know, it's like, I think you live this like almost lying to yourself, chasing this like false hip hop influenced, like negative, totally like self-righteous lifestyle that we like, I think see growing up with like these rappers and stuff, like giving off this like, oh, Bentley, Rolls Royce, this, bling this.
Which is the glorified entrepreneurship right now. You see all the guys with the $160,000 watches and like, it's the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's you know, and it's like, so then you finally like, you get there, like you finally get to that point where you're like, okay, I'm doing it. And you're like, but then you realize, you just realize that, you know, do I even really want to be here, or am I just being told to be here? You know what I mean? My whole life, I've been told this is what I want.
Yeah.
But the reality is I'm here. I make more than my dad does, you know? And he was like the wealthiest guy I knew, you know? I kill him, but it's like, why? You know what I mean? It's crazy to see perspective, you know, now, because like, you know, when he made what he was making, I was like, I can't believe someone can make that much money, you know? And like now, you know, if I wanted to take the income, I can make four times what he made. But it's pointless. You know what I mean? It's pointless past a certain point. There was a study done that like that people who made like over, it was like over $140,000, there was no difference in how people lived their life, right? But we all chase this 1% dream of being like a millionaire and whatnot and like making $1 million a year. And the reality is that all these people are chasing like stuff that doesn't even exist. Like making $1 million a year, yeah, it's cool, but one, you're gonna be taxed $500,000. So it's not as cool as it seems. Mm-hmm. And then two, the top 1% of the world that is in my age is makes $470,000 a year. So that's the number 1%, but all these like younger entrepreneurs are like, oh, I need $1 million a year to be successful. I need $1 million a year to be successful. And I'm like, you guys, your success is based on like a lot more things than just money.
Yeah.
You know, your happiness is definitely part of it. You know, when I was like absolutely crushing it and I was like really concerned with money, I had no life, you know, all I did was work. And then I take a step back a little bit and I'm cool with, you know, I'm cool with making way less. I don't, you know what I mean? Like I got some, if I want something, I buy it,
yeah,
you know? And it's not, but what do I want? Like a $200 pair of shoes? You know what I mean? Like me splurging is like a $400 pair of shoes, which is stupid to buy. I have like two pairs, so right? I could buy a pair daily if I wanted, but it's like, why? You know, why? What's the point? It doesn't make you feel any better about yourself. It doesn't do anything. So I have the power now because of like my reach now is greater than it was. You know, I have money that I can spend now from the company that I can spend and make other people's lives better. And that's how I'm compensated now, you know? Mm-hmm. We spend a lot of time giving back to like the homeless shelters and stuff. We just did a drive through the day. We brought like 120 jackets to homeless shelters. We give out, you know, pizzas and stuff on the weekends and stuff. This whole gym is free. Like people work out here for free. People come here to posing classes for free. My new gym is gonna be for free. I'm not gonna charge them to do that, you know what I mean? And it's like creating a community and giving people jobs and giving people a place to live, you know? When I was younger, before all the really bad stuff happened, you know, I was like 13 years old and I was just trying to stay off the streets. It was kind of like, I was kind of hiding from stuff. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'd be in my room or I was playing hockey. So I'd be on the hockey rink, I'd be in my room. And then the other place I was felt safe was the gym. And I'd be in the gym 2 hours a day at least. Cause it was like a safe for me,
yeah.
You know, it was safe. And everyone was cool there. There was never any problems. I was like the young kid that was always at the gym. And like, I know that there's kids out there that are going through that same thing too. And I would love for them to like find like a sanctuary in my place, you know, to have impact on their life. And that's really where I think the compensation is, you know what I mean? Like, and no matter what people do in their life is like, as long as you're giving back to people in a positive way, whether it's money, buying things for their sport, sponsoring teams, or just sharing knowledge and helping them along the way and encouraging them, I think that's where the real compensation comes. And honestly, because we're kind of known for that, like I'm kind of known for it now to like do free shit all the time,
yeah.
Which is like makes no sense, right? To the regular trainer, because to a regular trainer, how can they give away what I give away? They don't even make what I give away,
right?
You know what I mean? So it's just not possible. But because that's kind of out there, I put a lot of pressure on other teams to do good in the world too, because they're like, dude, you make your team's just as big as Adam's, like why aren't you giving out? You know, I just announced the other day that I'm sending two more people to Nationals that aren't even on my team. I don't care who they are. As long as they give back to the community, mm-hmm. and help someone during New Year's, I'm going to send them to USA's and pay for their flight, hotel, entry. Cool. So like, and it helps people help people, right? Justin Freeman, we did that for. He got his pro card.
Yep.
And we paid for him to go there. And I didn't even know who he was at that point. I kind of knew him. You know, I knew him from the gym and stuff, but it wasn't like he was my boy or anything. But he won the show and he got voted for it and he won a pro card. So like that's, his whole life's different now because of it. It's so cool. You know, you got a pro, you have the pro shows, things like that. And I don't know if that opportunity would have been for him before or not. I don't know. It's just, but it was good to do.
Yeah.
So like that's how I'm compensated now. And I think people need to really like, people need to understand that the money's not going to make you happy.
Man, you know I mean? Think you're hitting the nail right on the head. And just to clarify, money's not bad. No. I don't think money's evil. I think evil people are evil, right?
Yeah.
Bad people are bad.
Yeah.
And I don't think you're saying don't go out there and make a bunch of money. I think we're saying is, no, go ahead and make money. Just, you don't need to be the baller. You don't need to have the Benz and the $160,000 watches. Like, use that money to do good things. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
The more money you have, the more good things you can do.
Exactly.
Right?
I just think of it as a tool, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's just a tool to do good in the world. And to like, if people are out there, because the thing is, what I see a lot of is, one, I know a lot of wealthier people who are like the most unhappy people. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You hear these like stupid sayings like, oh, I'll cry in my Lamborghini or whatever, right? Like, Like, that's a one. If you've ever been in a Lamborghini, that's a shitty place to cry.
Lamborghini's not gonna hug you. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's a car.
It's and it's not even comfortable. I didn't rent it, but I wouldn't buy one. I rented it. It is not a comfortable ride. You know, you're like this. You don't want to be in there alone without money. I mean, there was times where I was working so much, and then, you know, a lot of my life has kind of taught me this stuff. You know, like, I worked so much before. You know, one of my biggest like learning moments in my life, you know, a lot of people don't know this about me, but I was married for like a little while, and that, you know, she, like, the work caused, you know, caused. I mean, who wants to marry a guy? All stay with a guy that all I do is work.
I must do work, yeah.
You sure. know what I mean? Well, it was like, why? And she kept telling me, like, why do you need to do so much? Why do you need to do so much? And I was like, that's just, I don't know how to function any other way. Like, but back then it was more like, I want to make more too. It wasn't like it was a little different, like my focus now, you know. It was like I was just climbing to the point, you know, I was like exploding, and now it's like I'm here. And so my whole life I wanted to get there, and I was about getting rich and making money and whatnot. And then when you get there, you're like, your perspective's totally different. Mm-hmm. It's like, why do I want that?
Why is this? Yeah,
why do I want to keep working like this? Like, what am I spending this on anyway? I wasn't even taking money out, I was putting it back in the company because I wanted to do better things. And I just realized I just need to focus on doing better things, but also I need to focus on me being happy and not work to the point where I'm sacrificing my happiness and probably sacrificing years off my life to make money that I don't need.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's craziness, yeah? So,
see, for me, I put it out there a lot that I work a lot. And I don't sacrifice anything else in my life, though. Like, when I'm at work, I'm all in at work.
Yeah.
Like, I usually get up about 5 a.m., And I start working. I'm usually 12 to 14 hours a day of work. But when I'm home, I'm home.
Yeah.
When I'm with my family, I'm with my family. Like, I'm present, I'm there. The weekends are for my family. The nights are for my family. Like, I'm super all in on that. I really enjoy creating and really enjoy seeing what I can accomplish and what I can build. But most of it's around my passions. I love to hunt. Yeah. So I have a hunting company. I'm starting a hunting show. Like,
that's
everything I want to do, and has nothing to do with how much money can I make. I don't care. I just want to do some cool shit.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Now that you have other companies that are kind of funding that, it makes it a little easier to get there faster, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you have the model now. Like, you have, you know, you don't have to go through that initial phase,
because
you already kind of have that initial figuring out the rough things you're going to go through already, and then new rough things will come that you have to learn. Mm-hmm. So that's cool too. So yeah, I'm kind of like along the same ways, and the new Contest Prep Center is going to be, I'm honestly like, I've been trying to look into like how to turn it into like a nonprofit at this point, because I just don't care, you know? Mm-hmm. I care about the money that little that I'm just like, fuck it, just make no money. You know?
Sure.
Like, I don't even care. Like, it's like, I'll take my money out, you know, dividends, probably pay myself like 30 grand a year and just keep all the money in the company and just make it do more good in the world. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. I think when you're young and you're poor, you just, like, have perspective. Like, you just want to make money. You just want to get out.
You want to get out of what you have, what you don't like.
I mean, my mom slept on a couch. You know what I mean? Like, what was so bad? And my mom was working three jobs, so I wouldn't see her that much. She was there as much as she could be. She was a great mom. But like, the apartment was so bad that we have like flea infestations, and my mom would have to wipe me down with alcohol before I went to bed, so the fleas wouldn't bite me as much through the night. So I smelled like fucking alcohol, rubbing alcohol when I went to sleep. And my mom slept on a couch that we got as a hand-me-down, right? And like, so that's the shit, like, yeah, of course you want to make money when you're in that situation.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? You want to get out of that situation.
And that's a huge driver, and that's probably what fueled a lot of you. I'm assuming that.
Oh, time.
I'm assuming get out of the neighborhood, seeing your mom work your ass off, that fueled you to have the life that you have now. And once, now that you've hit that mark, you're like, wait, why do I have to kill myself for stuff that I don't even want, don't really need? And now you've matured in your business sense, where like, now it's all about giving back.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. It's just like the natural evolution of things, right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, when you have that little, like, and you now have this much, it's just like, seems excessive. It's like, why? Yeah, so the extra money, I just want to put it back in and help the future, like the future me's that are right now, you know, going through that stuff, or maybe not even going through that rough of a situation, because I prefer no one go through that, but like want to get into fitness and that becomes their life and they impact people's lives forever, and then they impact someone who impacts someone's life, and mm-hmm. and just keep passing it forward, you know?
Yeah.
That's kind of the goal now, is to just, like, I want to be, like, I used to want to be the best trainer in the world. That was, like, a huge goal of mine.
Sure.
I was like, I want to be the best trainer in the world, best trainer in the world. And I put this immense pressure on myself to be the best trainer in the world. And then, I would say arguably I was focused and I was there and I was pretty close. I was in the talks, right? If that came up, like the name came up, who's the best, whatever coach, like my name might be mentioned, right? At that point. Yeah. And so I was like, okay, so I keep grinding. All I gotta do is this and get there. All I gotta do is get this and get there. And then one day I was like, you know what? No matter what I do, even if I win every division at the Olympia as a coach, people are still gonna argue that someone else is better. There's no way to quantify that goal, right? There's no way to quantify that. So what am I really doing here, you know? Because I'm chasing this dream of that doesn't exist. I'm chasing money that I don't need. Like, what do I do here, right? Sure. I'm like, I love what I do, and I just gotta live every day knowing that I'm blessed to even be able to do what I do. Like, this is actually a fucking job. You know what I mean? That's crazy.
Is that crazy?
Like, this is even a job. You know what I mean? Like,
you get to wake up and do this every day.
I would do this for free.
Yeah.
As a hobby. You know what I mean? I like, this is a job. I'm like, are you serious? You guys are gonna pay me for this? Like, do this shit for free. So like, I just gotta remember that stuff, and then influence the world with my platform now as positively as I can. And the money is a tool to help that. Now, that being said, I want as many tools as I can to do that. You know, the money's going to power that. And so I still want to grow in that way where we can have enough to continue to do this for years. But I'm probably taking less and less every year, taking money, less money than I would, just because now I have stuff that doesn't need to be paid for anymore. The building's paid for now. You know, my house is paid for. So now I need less money. Yeah.
Use that extra money to do good.
Use the extra money to do better. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know where these people are at with their business life, but I think that everyone that's out there needs to understand why are you doing this, and understand is this making you happy? Are you, 8 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever, Adam, that was just had no perspective on what happiness was with it. You know, it was just grind. You know, just grind every day. Just grind.
So if you had a piece of advice for the younger Adam that are out there right now that want to accomplish what you've accomplished, what would you tell them?
So one thing, what I'll say is I've been very lucky, and I actually did something that I loved to make money. But I would say, there were points where that I got lost in the money and not in what I love. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And I think that the first thing that everyone needs to do is to do something that makes them happy, that they can look forward to doing every single day. Because you're not going to be able to work that hard at something you're forced to do. There's just no way. Like, if this was not fitness and this was something else, let's say I was selling mortgages, which means I'd be on the phone all the time, whatever. Like, if you like that and that's your jam, do it. That's a way to make money, you know? One of the sayings to make money is the closer you are to the people that have the money, the more money you'll make, right?
Sure.
The closer you are to the money, the more you'll make. So, you know, mortgage, finance, all that stuff, you know? Yeah, but is that because you make money, is that going to make you happy? And if not, just quit and figure it out, you know? Spend less money, you know? I think that that's important too. When I bought this prep center, I sold my house. I sold my house, my cars, my everything. I liquidated all my assets. I had no money whatsoever. I had a building that I was sleeping in with no fucking shower, right? People don't know that, right? So you have to be willing to eat some shit to get to where you want to get.
Sacrifice, yeah.
Absolutely. I sold everything because I had a bigger dream. This is crazy. I sold everything I had. My house was paid for, my cars, everything was paid off. I was sitting pretty. I sold everything to get a building that I charged people nothing to work out at, which in turn has made my business three times better than it was when I bought it, right? So I give back and it comes back to you. So always give back, right? But what I would say is, one, if you're doing something you hate, don't leverage yourself to the point where you got to keep doing that. I talked to this guy the other day at the gym.
Don't go in debt so big. So you have to keep going to that job that you fucking hate.
Yeah,
right?
So you look fucking cool to your friends.
Right.
Fuck you. Who are you to judge me for what car I drive? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If your friend cares, fuck him. Get a new friend. You know what I mean? Driving these cars and shit. It's funny because I saw this guy the other day, and he was a younger guy, and he was 24 or something like that. He's like, yeah, man. It's I'm working here at the gym, and I just bought a new BMW X6 or something. I'm like, dude, that car's nicer than my car. You know what I mean? You're just working at the gym. You now can't leave this job because you're in a 5-year payments for this car.
Yep.
You know, because in that car, that payment's probably $700 a month with insurance and all that. And that's probably a third of your check, probably?
Probably, yeah. Third.
Maybe, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I would never spend a third of my check on an automobile. You know, I wouldn't buy it unless I had cash. Like, but these people, they set themselves up like that. You know, I need this. I need a bigger house. Like, when I buy the building, I'm actually selling my house again, and I'm going to live in a one-bedroom condo. It's nice. It's definitely a nice one-bedroom, sure, like, condo. But it's, what do I care? I'm not using the other rooms. You know, yeah, yeah. Like, and now I have hotels that are in the building, like little tiny hotel rooms, so my friends can stay there. Yeah. What do I need more than that for? Why do I need, you know? But the problem is, I think that people, one, I think they start when they're like 20, right? A lot of people aren't going to college anymore. That's kind of like seeming like a less of a trend, unless you're being a doctor or a lawyer or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's more of like the thing is, being an entrepreneur is cool right now. You know, yeah, what I mean?
It's definitely glorified.
Yeah, it's cool right now. So everyone wants to be an entrepreneur, and they don't realize, like, you know what? Sometimes it's better to just be an employee, you know, for some people. You know what I mean? Like, Tori's a perfect example of that. She kills it. You know, she makes six figures a year, you know, and I do the hard work, and she does hard work too, but it's different. You know, it's like I'm running a business and being a face and doing these things and studying, and she's an easier job than I do, for sure. Yeah. You know, and net, she probably takes more than me, net, you know what I mean? Because I'm keeping the money in the business, right? Sure. And she's not. So, like, it's okay to not be an entrepreneur. It's okay. You know, some of the richest people in the world had stock in Microsoft, worked for Microsoft, worked for Facebook, worked for Instagram, and like they had stocks in their companies, whatever, and they let someone else do the hard work because that's they're not entrepreneurs. So one, I think, don't force it. There's nothing wrong with working a great job and working your way up the ladder. My friend Mike works for Monster. He worked his way up in logistics. He makes 300 plus grand a year working for Monster because he worked his way up to being a vice president of South America at Monster, starting off from same neighborhood, yeah. Working in logistics, had no skill sets in logistics, but like said, I can do it, worked really hard, worked his way up. He's never gonna own the company, he doesn't want to. Why?
Why, yeah. Why have that headache?
Yeah, why? So like, one, know who you are, you know? Are you the chief, or are you the Indian, right? Mm-hmm. Then make sure that you're doing something that you actually like to do, that you, because there's no way that you're gonna be able to outwork me doing this, because I love it too much. No, there's no fucking way. You'll make yourself sick trying to work harder than me at this job, because I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, if it takes a lot of work, like when the Arnold comes around, the Olympia comes around, and I'm putting in 60 hours a week and smiling the whole time, like, you're gonna be here. Oh, I gotta be at work again. I'm gonna be here. I'm at work again. Like, this, I can't even believe this is a job. Yeah. I mean, so that's the difference of like someone who can be successful, I think, is that you can go in every day not grinding. Because I couldn't imagine not doing this for as long as I do it every day to not like it, you know what I mean? Because there's some days I work, like today's a great day, I get off early, it's great. But then there's some days, like yesterday, I was here till, you know, I think 8 o'clock, you know, I started at 8. So no lunch break, you know, and then I gotta go work out with whatever energy I have, you know, and that day's, yeah, those days are hard, but still I'm like, I gotta do this for, you know, 12 hours a day, who else gets to do that? You know what I mean? It's just crazy. So that's important. Then I say chase, like money-wise, like understand how to spend it. You know, everyone talks about money and buying stuff, but no one talks about saving. Mm-hmm. Like, who's talking about savings? Like, anyone talk about savings? Like, No, I don't ever hear it.
It's about what they spent and what they bought and what they can show their friends for that judgment of, perception of, I'm doing really good and I'm rich.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's so important. And that's a problem, too, with, like, social media, right? Like, everyone's, like, self-value is so based on other people's opinions. Like, as soon as someone can just not give a shit about what other people think about them, then that's when they're going to be successful.
Yeah.
You know, because that was one of the lessons I learned that was really tough being a personal trainer. And I learned it. I didn't even know I was learning the lesson. I was like beat up on. So what happened with me is, like, being a trainer, when I came to Colorado, like, no one knew who I was from California, right? So I came here and then I started doing my preps, and there was me and this judge got in like a fight, and then he didn't know anything about my preps, anything whatsoever. And he put out on like Facebook, like, oh, Adam's like, whatever, I'm loosely calling him a coach. He's just crashing metabolisms and this and that, and like hurting people. And I was like, bitch, you don't know anything about, you've never even seen one of my preps, right?
Sure.
He got pulled from the panel for a few shows for it. But so he put that out there, and then everyone started seeing me grow. Right? And so all these other coaches like jumped on that bandwagon and were like saying, oh, he's hurting people, this, that, whatever, right? And I was like, all right, if you guys are gonna do this, I'm gonna post every prep I do for the whole year. And I'm gonna show you that I'm gonna do this with higher calories and less cardio than you're having your athletes that I'm beating doing, right? So for a solid year, all these coaches were like saying that, and they're all Colorado coaches. You guys know who you are. So they were saying that, they're all jumping on the bandwagon, and they're like, oh, and making fun of calories, like, oh, today I ate 3,287.36, like making fun of me being all specific on calories,
yeah,
and making fun of me saying I'm doing less cardio, and like just picking on me, ragging on me, right? And I thought at that point I started like, it was a lot of pressure and stress, and I said, I just don't care. You know, at a certain point I was just like, you guys are all doing it and I just don't care. Like I really, in my whole heart, like when it started I cared and it was hard.
Sure.
But in my whole heart it was so repetitive and so much and so over the top from like five local trainers that I just said, I just don't care anymore. You know what I mean? It just got to that point. I'm just like, you know what? Yeah. Keep doing it. And once I crossed that bridge and they realized I wasn't gonna stop and I was just relentless in my pursuit of like showing that I'm gonna be the best trainer and that I'm gonna win shows in a way that you're not capable of doing it. I'm gonna prep people with more calories and less cardio than you're doing, and I'm gonna beat you, and you're not gonna be able to figure it out. And you're not gonna be able to figure it out so much, you're gonna say it's a lie. That's how bad I was beating him, right? And so, and that was the only option they had. They were like, oh, he's not really doing that. Like, and I was like,
yeah, he's lying to us.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm posting the client's names. Like, I'm not hiding anything from you guys because you made me not hide it. So a lot of it was me just one day I said, I don't give a shit. And then part of it too was like me being so vocal about what I'm doing that people knew my methods, right? Yeah. So indirectly, I was like giving back to the community and telling them this is how I prep people. Mm-hmm. But and really it was like defense for like a year, just like posting it because these people were picking on me. And then I stopped caring. And then all of a sudden everyone started knowing what I was doing. And then they were like at a certain point, okay, we're just not gonna say anything because it's making it hard on us because now Adam's
they
posting.
They look like idiots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks bad on them because I'm beating them with mm-hmm. higher calories and less cardio. And their clients are grinding out, and now their clients are being like, how come I'm doing 2 hours of cardio and Adam's clients are only doing 30 minutes and they're beating me? Yeah. How do you answer that question, right, as a coach? So then they stop picking on me because they realize it ended up being bad for them and helped grow
well,
in me.
Clients don't come to you because they don't want to do 2 hours of cardio.
Yeah. And the reality is they can't prep people the way I can. They don't have the juice, you know what I mean? Yeah. This is not a job for me. This is all I know. This is literally everything I've done since I was 13 studying this stuff. So like, if you're, it's just not, you know what I mean? It's just not even fair. You know what I mean? Yeah. So that was a really big moment for me. It was like just not caring about what people thought. And I think a lot of people who are on like Instagram with this fake life, you know, like overly filtered pictures with girls, like girls, you're beautiful as you are. Like we don't need to see you all face-tuned and shit. Like girls are, you know what I mean?
I don't need to see your ass to get, so you can get a bunch of likes on a photo.
Like, you don't pay your bills with likes, you know what I mean? So why are you subjecting yourself to this? You're like, oh, cause I'm gonna be an Instagram model. And I'm like, no, you're not, because you're showing your ass all day long and you can't monetize your audience because it's all 60-year-old men in their mom's
basement.
Unless
you're selling Viagra. Exactly,
right? That's the only way. Yeah, the guys who are looking at that stuff are not gonna be your marketable audience, you know what I mean? You're not selling booty programs when all you're doing is posting your butt, and guys is 70% of your audience, you know what I mean? I see these girls' Instagrams and they're like, they have like 80% of their audience is like male audience, you know what I mean? Like it's, and then the other, and then 10% is other girls who do the same shit, and then maybe 10% of that audience is like girls who want to get like that. Right. You know, it's not like how they think it is. So like the guys who are, you know, who are like flexing online with their new Yeezys that they can't afford and, you know, that they have to save up for it, like buy some crappy shoes. What's wrong with that? These were like $100. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like I'll wear them till they're
like
yours. Like,
you know? Like mine.
You know, I have, it's funny because when I was younger, I had one, that was the one thing I will buy is shoes. The one when I was younger, but it's funny, I don't wear them. I only wear like these, like all one pair of shoes I wear for like 6 months, and I have like a whole bunch. But when I was younger, I only got one pair of shoes a year. So this whole shoe thing's like a big thing
it's
to
like
me.
Me yeah.
Yeah, I got one pair of shoes a year before the school year started. Yep. So these shoes had to be like perfect. They had to be stylish. They had to be functional. They had to do sports. They had to withhold beating. Right? So it's like black athletic Nikes or something like that I could get that had a Nike swoosh on it, even though it was like the cheap Nikes.
Yeah.
So like it was funny. And so because of that, now I can afford shoes. That's like the one thing I'll splurge on is buy shoes here and there, you know.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's just like $100 pairs and then just more than I should have. But people are like, they want to flex online when they don't have stuff, and then they put themselves in the hole like the kid I was telling you about.
Mm-hmm.
Now he can't leave that job, you know, or worst case scenario, like maybe, you know, maybe this, like this gym right now, it's a newer gym. Maybe they're paying well, like 24-hour fitness used to pay me when I was younger. And then they changed the compensation model and now he's not making the money. Now he's paying half his bills. for his car.
For sure.
And he can't get out.
Right? Well, and the whole reason he has the car before is because he's trying to impress somebody.
Yeah.
Either impress the other people on Instagram or try to pick up a girl where you don't put her in a good, nice car, but then you don't bring her home to mom and dad because you live with your parents in the basement.
Exactly.
You know, but you're driving a whatever it was, a Benz or
BMW
or whatever it was. Yeah.
Like. So like that stuff happens all the time, and I see kids make that mistake, and it's like a trap that we fall into. And it's because we put so much value in other people's perception. Like if you just didn't give a shit about what anyone thought, your life is going to be so much better and so much truer to you, you know? And I learned that lesson when I was older because all those trainers kind of made me learn it, right? I was just like picked on so much. I was just like, you know what? I can't invest. I just couldn't invest any more energy into caring anymore because it was driving me crazy, right?
Yeah.
And so one day I said, I'm just not going to listen to it anymore. I'm just not going to watch them. I'm not going to watch it. And then the not watching it turned into not caring. And then the not caring turned into, oh, did you hear what he said? And I was like, I don't care. Don't tell me.
Yeah.
I'll deal with it if it comes up, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and then it turned into that. And like, it's so like that at the house now that like, I don't even like, even when like Anya tells me something about something happening, I'm like, I don't even want to hear it. Yeah. How's your day? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, what did you do? So when you get to that point, doesn't matter what you drive. Doesn't matter what nice your house is. Doesn't matter where you ate at dinner. You don't need to be you know, as soon as you stop putting like value into other people's liking your stuff or their opinions of you or what you think you need to do, then you start being successful. And I think success is, there's a lot of forms of it, and I think that too many people put money as success.
Correct.
You know, I did it, you know, I'm not saying I'm not guilty of it. I did it at one point, and it didn't do anything for me internally besides like hurt my soul a little bit, you know? Like,
sure.
It honestly even changed
your decision-making.
Changes decision-making and also changes the person who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look at my dad, you know? He doesn't talk to his son, you know, like, because of money. It's can you imagine? I mean, you have kids, you said, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, how much money would it cost me to never talk to your kid again?
Not any amount of
exactly.
money, man. Like,
exactly. That's a normal person.
That's normal people. Yeah.
Yeah.
For
you know,
sure.
But money can change you. You know what I mean? Money can change you and take hold of you. So you have to like, nothing wrong with it. Make as much as you can, but you have to have perspective on why and have a reason for why. You know, like,
yeah.
You know, like it's just, I don't, to me, it's just, I don't know. I have a different perspective of it. You know.
When we talked a little bit, I mentioned legacy a little bit.
Yeah.
And so my view of legacy is a little bit different. It's kind of what you're talking about right there.
Yeah.
Is I don't care how much money I make. That's not my legacy. My legacy is how good of husband am I? How good of father am I? How good of friend am I? How good of employee am I? I want to be the best in those categories.
Yeah.
That's my legacy to me. My legacy is living right now. So it depends on, you know, if Reese goes off and he's hanging out tonight with some friends. What does Reese think about me? What does he really say about me?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's my legacy. And I care about people that I love, what they think about me. I don't give a shit about anybody else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I think that's huge. I think that's, you're doing it right, you know?
And you don't have to make $1 billion to have a legacy. You know, you can have that legacy by that, not even being an entrepreneur. You don't need to. But money does help. Like, money's not bad. You can make a lot of money and build and do a lot of really good shit with
it. Yeah, I think that there's, I think perfect example of that's like Bill Gates, you know? Bill Gates is a, like, if I admire like anyone with what they're doing with money is Bill Gates. Like I think that if I had as much as he did, like I would be doing hopefully something similar. I mean, he's eradicating diseases. You know what
right.
I mean? It's like crazy that you can do that with money. You know what I mean? So that's a good thing when used in the right way. But you look at like Steve Jobs and how much he donated to charity. One of the other richest guys in the world. Nothing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't. You know, to me, like if you have that much, you're not giving back. Like I think your mind is great. I admire that. But like as the person. Who's like, I'm giving back more than that. You know what I mean? Like, so it's like, I think that that's where it needs to go. When you start being successful, you got to give back. You know, we should all be a little bit more like Mr. Rogers and be all a little bit more like Bill Gates. You know what I mean? Actually, that's one of my resolutions is to be more like Mr. Rogers this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, he like genuinely cared about people to the point where people thought he was weird.
Yeah.
Which is fucked up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and that's another perfect example of like caring about people's opinions, right? Like Mr. Rogers was like the kindest, probably one of the kindest human beings that ever existed, besides probably Jesus Christ, right? Like, it's like Jesus Christ, Mr. Rogers, right? Like, that guy was so kind and genuine and like just a good person, you know? No dirt ever came out about Mr. Rogers, nothing. His whole life, you know, everyone thought he was weird, and it's like, it just shows you, you know? Like, you take one of the kindest people that ever existed on planet Earth, and people still had opinions about him that he was weird or that he was gay or that he was something was going to happen with him. He was going to molest these children or something. Like, there was always these opinions. And I'm like, man, this guy, what if he's just a good person? What about that? And you guys are so wrapped up in the fact that you're not like him, that you're trying to cast any shadow you can to make you feel better about yourself, right? And so, like, why not just admire the guy and try to be more like him? Why step him down so you look closer to that level, right? It's just, it's so sickening, you know? So, like, that's why you just can't care about people's opinions, because you have, can you imagine that? Mr. Rogers had people that just didn't like him. I mean, it's just
haters.
Crazy.
Mr. Rogers had haters. Imagine if he was on Instagram right now, all the DMs he'd be getting.
You know what I mean? You know? And so, like, that's the thing. You can't ever please everyone, and so you have to. You absolutely have to live for yourself, and you have to live for the people around you that are closest to you, like your family and stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, me, personally, I've chosen not to ever have kids because I know that it's going to, and I think that you're doing a great job of balancing it, but I just know that my impact on the world and community is going to be greater when I'm more available traveling around the world and stuff, and I want to do it around the world. I want to do it globally. You know, I was in Hollywood 2 weeks ago. I was in the UK a week before that. I'll be in Hollywood again in 2 weeks doing that. I'll be in, you know, all over doing these camps and workshops and spreading this word, you know? And I think that that's where my energy needs to be. So, you know, I don't know. I have a lot. I think in the next 10 years, this is going to evolve to something that's, like, never been done.
Yeah, man, I'm excited to watch it.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see.
Yeah, you know, I think I'll be... paying myself less. Probably even less. Yeah. Like, dude, pay yourself something at that point. But there's going to be a lot of happy people around me and a lot of very successful people around me. And that's the goal, you know? And yeah. I hope that people who are watching it kind of take some of that in.
That's,
you know,
legacy.
Yeah. It's funny. We were talking about legacy. And yeah. I was like, look, when I die, I don't think I'm going to be a legend. No one's going to give a shit when I die. I don't have any false misconceptions of people talking about me as one of the greatest trainers that ever lived 10 years from now. 10 years from now, I don't know trainers that died 10 years ago that were great. And I'm a trainer. No way an athlete's going to know about me 10 years from now. Or like 10 years, if I die, 10 years later. Like,
but these people around you will talk about you.
Yeah, exactly. And then what's going to happen is the people that I impacted, the people that I brought in to become trainers, they're going to have kids. They're going to teach their kids healthy ways. They're going to teach their kids healthy ways. So my legacy will go unspoken, which is the selfless way I want to live. I want to live a lot less selfish than I am and always be a little bit more giving, you know? And I think that's how you, like, impact the world positively. But being like this, I think our legacy and how we perceive it, right, is how you're getting to is different.
Yeah, it's different.
Yeah.
Legacy is not about how much money you can make. It's what we're talking about here. I think other people have other opinions, but that's my
I think it's. I think a lot of people who... I think a lot of people have those opinions don't have it. You know what I mean? Like, I think their conceptions of what it is like to be in that 1%. And I have no problem telling your audience, like, I am in the 1% bracket of what I make, right? And so, like, when you get there, like, you know, you realize that it just doesn't change your life at all. You know, so you, like, think that it's gonna be a certain way, and like, that's how I'm gonna be a legend. That's how it doesn't do anything different for you. So if you're doing good in the world, that's what does something different for you. That's what makes you feel good, and that's what, like, fills your heart up, right? So that's why now I just don't even care about paying myself that much. It's just like, if I want it, it's there. You know, if I want something, I'll take it. But it's like, it just doesn't do anything for me, man. It just doesn't, you know? But yeah, absolutely, the business, the chase of being the best and the chase of growing the business, like, that's where the money is for me. That's where the compensation is for me, you know? So,
and that's just competitive nature for me, too. It's like, I want to be the best. I want to grow things the best, the biggest I can grow it, but... I literally didn't pay myself the entire year last year, so I can give a shit less.
Yeah, I've done that a couple times. Like, so we file as a S corp, so I have to, like, have
you have to pay yourself something.
They call it a reasonable salary, so I have to do that. But it's like, it's still more than I would pay, and I take, like, the minimum, and it's still more than I would take. So that's why I'm, like, trying to, like, maybe I'll just do a nonprofit and just, like, keep the money in there and just pay myself, like, real little, because everything's done, you know.
There you go.
Everything's done. So.
Well, cool, man. Hey, this was an amazing episode. You guys got to follow Adam Bonilla wherever he's at. Check him on Instagram. You have YouTube, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I got YouTube. So / everything's Team Elite Physique. So / Team Elite Physique on Facebook, on YouTube, Team Elite Physique on Instagram. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see my crazy life. So
it's great nuggets coming from him. Follow him. Watch him. See what he does. He's gonna do some great stuff for the next decade.
Yeah, I hope so.
Thanks, my man.
Hi, brother.